Okay. Erev Tov. It happens to be this year I'm studying Rav Hirsch's writings, and Parshas Toldos is world famous for Rav Hirsch talking about parenting and talking about how Rav Hirsch feels that the Avos, some of the Avos, didn't do such a great job of parenting. I don't really want to spend more time on that, because most of you aren't yet up to parenting. But I think there are some very, very important messages about uniqueness and individuality, and within a Torah framework, how important it is that there is diversity and there are different types of Jews, and how people shouldn't think that there's a certain one size fits all Yiddishkeit. And that's something that those of you who are with us in Yeshiva here know that we tried very hard to speak about all the time, but it can get tricky sometimes. But anyway, just as a point of departure from Rav Hirsch, who really, when reading what he writes, is such a striking, I would never have the guts to write what he writes, but the way he says it, and it's really striking. I just want to share some of it with you. Rav Hirsch writes that, as you can imagine, that Yaakov and Esav were born with very, very different kinds of personalities. And kids and families, now this is what I want to talk about, even with your siblings, kids and families often have very, very different personalities, and this can sometimes make things complicated for teachers who are teaching different kinds of students, parents who are raising different kinds of children, and even for children in the family. Seeing your older brother or your younger brother or seeing a sibling who's so different from you and having different personality traits could be very challenging. And sometimes there are certain expectations that aren't necessarily even made by parents, but might just be made by the fact that a certain sibling came before you or a sibling's coming after you or you have a sibling. And there are family pressures that pressure kids to be a certain way. And it takes incredible intelligence for parents, for teachers, for rebbes, for parents to negotiate the balance between creating an atmosphere in a home that has standards. And as far as certain things, there is a baseline that people know how this home operates. And yet, at the same time, to realize that kids are different and need different things. I could think of about 1,000,005 examples from my own kids' upbringing about like what worked for some kids doesn't work for the other kid, or the standard, even the standard that I had want to set in my house about certain things. Let's say certain things aren't done in this house. I want to say certain things aren't done, but then I felt that the wise move would be to relax a certain standard, even though I really didn't think that things should be done. But when I made the cheshbon overall of what I would win and what I would lose by trying to keep a certain standard, I ended up relaxing the standard with the hope that even if I would lose that battle, I would end up winning the war. And that's exactly what Rav Hirsch claims that Yitzchak and Rivka messed up on when it comes to Esav. Fascinating. As a matter of fact, on the words, v'hinei somim bivitna, Rav Hirsch writes that vihine means that it's always a surprise. Vihine in Chumash generally means something you weren't expecting. What was the surprise? She had already gone to Shem Ve'Aver, and Shem Ve'Aver told her that she was going to have twins and that they were going to be very different. So what was the surprise? So the first surprise were that they were actually identical. That when they came out, they were identical. She thought they were going to be so different. But the message is that parents and mechanchim, and not just parents and mechanchim, as talking to you guys yourselves, you can't look at your friends or your siblings, even just because you say, we came from the same family, we look alike, or we're friends, we grew up in the same community, we're classmates, we're in the same school, so we should be the same. That's the big lesson there of Hirsch says that Yitzhak and Rivka missed. That Chanoch Lanar al pi darko. He writes there, you know, black on white. He says that they didn't appreciate the depth of detail of Chanoch Lanar al pi darko, that we're supposed to look not just at the externals, but to look inside. And it requires a lot of wisdom to try to see. And each of us, I think, has to look at our own insides and look at our Shoresh Neshama, look at what's deep inside ourselves. How does Hashem want me to live my life as a Jew? We can take inspiration from other people, but it's sometimes hard to know. It's hard to be really deadly honest with yourself and know, who am I, yes, and who am I not? And am I pushing myself to be somebody who I'm not? Or am I not pushing myself to be somebody who I really could be? So it's very, very tricky. And quite to the contrary, Rav Hirsch, time and time again in his commentary, keeps pointing out that we shouldn't be surprised when the Avos do things wrong. He says that the fact that the Avos made mistakes makes them so much more relatable to us and so much more role models to us. Because if they would never made any mistakes, we would just say, forget it. They would look on a different plane. There's no way we could possibly relate to them. So Rav Hirsch actually sort of, I don't want to say he delights in it, but he certainly says that there's value in speaking about it. He's not afraid to say, he's not afraid to write when he feels the Avos made a mistake, because that's we can learn from their mistakes too. The Medrash Rabbah on the Pasuk Vayigdalu HaNe'arim, the Medrash Rabbah says that for the first 13 years of their lives, nobody was really able to tell any difference between them. There was huge difference. There was vast difference between their personalities, but nobody saw any difference. Neither their teachers saw any difference, nor their parents really saw a difference. Just Esav came out a little bit more, like we all know Esav had hair, right? So he was a little more developed, but they were identical twins, except for the fact that Hirsch learns Tomim, except for the fact that Esav was a little more developed. So they sent him to the same yeshivas, they had the same rebbes, right? All parents, you know, I shouldn't say all parents, a lot of parents, you know, want all their kids to be in Shir X with Rebbe X. Everybody has to be in the same program. And a lot of kids feel like if my brother was there, so or my friends are there, that's where I belong to. They were both raised to sit and learn and be Tamidi Chachamim, and one of them was totally not cut out for it. No one paid attention to the differences when they were younger. That's the way Rav Hirsch reads that Medrash. And consequently, because Esav was forced to sit in the same shir and the same style of learning that Yaakov did, so for Yaakov it was awesome. And because of that, Rav Hirsch writes, Esav, as soon as he got one foot out of there, he was out of there. And he totally left any connection to the traditions of Avram and Yitzhak, and it didn't speak to him. The education that he was getting didn't speak to him. Yitzhak and Rivka ignored Chanoch Lanar al pi darko. Had they looked deeply into Esav's personality, the Gibor Tzayid Lefnei Hashem would have been a Gibor Lefnei Hashem. Yaakov and Esav could have been great partners. The great Jewish task is basically one, but the ways of its fulfillment are manifold and diverse, as human character traits and paths of life are manifold and diverse. This is Rav Hirsch's fascinating critique of the parenting, and I think the lesson, the message for us is a very, very powerful one, to really make sure that we don't spend our whole lives trying to be somebody who we're not. Looking at somebody else and saying, well, that guy can do X, Y, and Z, why can't I do it? Of course, there is an idea called Kinaso from Tarba Chachma, but there's Shivim Panim LaTorah, there's 70 ways, and there are some very, very powerful statements about this. I'm sure that in Hashkafa Shmuzes in past years, I've spoken a little bit about it, but it just struck me this Shabbos with Rav Hirsch stressing this. One of my favorite paragraphs in the entire Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim is a book that probably is the book that had the biggest impact on my life in my own spiritual journey. Probably is the book that had the biggest impact on me. But no one, including myself, ever gets to the end of Mesillas Yesharim. No one ever gets to the last page. No one. You start the book, and you, by the time you get to Perek Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, nobody starts learning Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, Yud Tes, Kedusha, Tahara, Tahara Slave. Very, very few people get there. You have to, it's required reading if you never saw it. You have to read the last page of Mesillas Yesharim. Basically, in a nutshell, what the Mesillas Yesharim writes on the last page is that a garbage man is just as big a chassid as somebody who sits and learns all day long. Mesillas Yesharim says that. It all depends how you do it. It all depends on what your focus is. It all depends on your midos as you do it. It depends on your integrity and your honesty and your dedication to the task and what you do with your free time. It's not everybody's cut out to learn all day. Not everybody's cut out to teach Torah. So you're a lawyer, you're an accountant, you're a doctor. How do you conduct yourself that way? You can be, as a lawyer, or as an engineer, or as a doctor, you can be as big a chassid as the Gadol Hador. That's what he writes there. It's not about the amount of time you spend learning. It's about your righteousness. It's about your refinement of your character. It's about how do you talk to people. It's about, in the free time that you do have, are you learning? It's about how do you interact with the people in your workplace? It's about your integrity. It's about your work ethic. It's about all these things. It's about being a mensch. It's my favorite paragraph because he says, literally, it's going to be the same level of Olam Haba. A guy who works for a living and a guy who is sitting and learning all day. They're going to be at the same stage of Olam Haba. Don't believe me. Read it yourself. Again, I don't have the exact but he says, "Ukfar haya yachal lios chassid gamur, misha yoshev alomid with misha, she because of he has to go work for a living, so he's working all day long. Could be the exact same level of righteousness." This is a very, very important message. I think it's a message about for us about finding our own tafkid and making sure that tafkid is striving for the same level of chassidus as the Gadol Hador, but in our particular path, in our particular way. And that means that whatever derech you choose, whatever profession you choose, whatever place in life you go, you could be koveya itim la Torah. Torah could be majorly important. In that context of that Mesillas Yesharim, I always quote my good friend who unfortunately passed away at a very young age, my chaver, Mike Selesny, who to me was the ultimate role model of a balabas, who had a three-hour night seder, and who was so shaku in his learning, very successful in business, loved his family, moved to Eretz Yisrael. Really, to me, he's a role model. I'm sure that Mike Selesny is up in the Olam HaEmes, right with all the big tzaddikim. I used to daven for hours, and it's possible to be a balabas, someone who works for a living, to be just as righteous. Just the important thing is that a parent or a Rebbe has to know that that's you're going to be your success. And you have to know it about yourself. You have to have had mechanechim that didn't say everybody has to go one way. Everybody has to all, this is the only way to do it. Everybody has to go like this. That's the mistake. Again, I would never say it, but once Rav Hirsch said it. That's a mistake. To say that everybody has to be in a cookie cutter, everybody has to be exactly the same, everybody has to eat exactly the same way, that's a mistake. That's not chanoch lanar al pidarko. What a contrast from Yitzhak and Rivka to Yaakov and his 12 sons. When he gathered his 12 sons together, and the Torah says, Ish asher kivircha so beirach osam. He saw in one of them kingship, he saw in another of them to be a merchant on the ships, he saw another one of them to be the Rabbeim, he saw another one of them to be the Kohanim. Everybody had their own. Another one is going to be the warriors, right? Another one. Every son had his place. That's the way we have to look at our siblings and ourselves. That's the way we have to look when Hashem blesses us with children. We have to remember that was Yaakov's whole message. Ish asher kivir chaso beirach osam. The Torah says Yaakov looked at each child and said, how is this child going to be successful, Eved Hashem? And how is this child going to be successful, Eved Hashem? And how is this unique talents and abilities going to be successful, Eved Hashem? The bris of Avram Avinu was intended for a whole, healthy, and vital nation. Like we see what's happening in Eretz Yisrael today. In Eretz Yisrael, we have doctors from doctors, we have from electricians, we have from people delivering the milk. We have all strata of society. That's what you need to build a society. And our ultimate goal is to build that society in Eretz Yisrael. And it's not just going to be the non-Jews who are supposed to be all those professions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Jews with the ability to do that as well. I was talking to Rabbi Billet this week, sitting at a wedding together, and he said something very beautiful. He said that, you know, he's telling me, I asked him, one of his sons was a former Talmud of mine. So I said, so how's he doing? So he said, yeah, he's doing very nicely. He's being very successful in business. But I told all my kids, you can't just go into business. You have to give something back to the Jewish community. You have to give something back. So on the side, he's volunteering to run this organization for, he's running this organization, Ir David. He runs the Ir David organization in America. They're doing archaeological digs in Israel. They're trying to bring people closer back to Yiddishkeit by showing them, you know, the history of what went on, of the Beis HaMikdash, and how they used to do the Avodah. And so he says, he's told each of his kids, you can't just, you got to give something back to the community. It's you know, it's you can contribute to Klal Yisrael in so many different ways. It doesn't just have to be by teaching Torah or learning Torah. There's so many ways to contribute, so many organizations, so much chesed, so much help. Klal Yisrael needs so many different people. And just my last point. Again, this is really more about the parenting. We're just such a sharp point of Hirsch. Right? The Pasuk says, I recently, like last week, I just joined this, you know, Partners in Torah. So I'm learning with this, with a fellow out in California who hasn't been involved in his, you know, wanted to learn more about his Judaism. So this is the parsha we started. He wanted to learn parsha. So I said, this is quite the complicated parsha, you know. Vayehav Yitzchak es Rivka ki tzayid befiv. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav ki tzayid befiv. Rivka heves es Yaakov. It's like it's a pella, no? What's a pella? It's a pella that the two parents seem to not be on the same wavelength. One parent favors one child, the other parent favors the other child. Yitzchak favors Esav, Yaakov favors. Rivka, so Rav Hirsch is not afraid to point out two things. First of all, parents need to be on the same page when they're parenting. They need to be on the same page. You can't have the kid go to daddy and hear one thing and go to mommy and hear a different thing. It doesn't work. The kids get mixed messages. It's a disaster for kids growing up that way. Number two, parents have to love all the kids the same. Even the kid who's a rough kid, adarabah, that kid usually needs even more love. So it's really, really difficult. He actually says that, he suggests that maybe, I never heard this before, but he suggests that maybe Dafka, the reason why Yitzchak loved Esav is because Yitzchak was an Ola Tamima. He was like a very calm, you know, he wasn't such an actor, he wasn't so active, so he was attracted to Esav because he felt Esav had some of that fortitude and strength that he didn't have. And he said that Rivka grew up in Lavan's house. She grew up seeing, you know, wildness and craziness from Besuel and Lavan, so she was attracted to Yaakov because Yaakov was the Ishtam Yoshev Oholim, that Yaakov was the dream that she had always dreamed growing up in Lavan and in Besuel's house. She dreamed of like having a pure son. So she was blown away that she actually was zochet to have a Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Oholim. So Rav Hirsch says we could explain that that's why they were attracted to those children. But even having said that, he says even if you have that natural propensity, you gotta squash it. And if you're a parent, you have to show the same amount of love to every child. And even if you have a natural, and every Rebbe in the classroom, you know, sorry, I keep going back to being a Rebbe, but it's a little bit of an occupational hazard, but every Rebbe in the classroom, every Rebbe has his favorites. Every Rebbe does. But you can't ever show it. You gotta treat everybody the same. You gotta show love to everybody the same amount. You got to care. You got to show care, and really not just show care, but practice care to everybody the same amount. Then, and kids have to feel that in the family. So, I think you all know about me already that I'm a very, very big proponent of this idea about individuality. How important individuality is in Yiddishkeit. And there are Shivim Panim LaTorah, and there were 12 tribes because Hashem doesn't want everybody to be exactly the same. And I just thought Parshas Toldos, especially studying Rav Hirsch's comment, affords us that opportunity. And we can't be judgmental of people in Klal Yisrael who are not exactly like us. We should be judgmental by people who are doing things wrong, who are violating Yisurei Torah, or who are not Bali Midos Tovos. We should be upset about the Midos. But just because people have a different mahalach than us, that doesn't mean it's something to be looked down on. We should try to judge people favorably and realize that there are Shivim Panim LaTorah, a lot of different Drachma Vodas Hashem. Have a wonderful Shabbos.